Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Often when my roommates and I would watch movies in college, we would often assign people as characters in the movie. One would be the main character, another one might be the love interest, another friend could be the villain, etc., etc. You get the picture. And as the movie would go on, we would jokingly say things like, "Logan, I can't believe you did that," or "Becky, you killed me," or "Josh, I always knew you would betray us. Did you ever do that?" Well, we did it anyways. We found it fun. And it would always be funny to compare characters with people or to mismatch them, especially if the person was the opposite of the character being compared. I usually seem to be assigned the goofy side character that always seemed to get killed before the end of the movie. But thus is life. It's fun to assign people as various characters and to compare them. And in our text, Jesus does just that. He does it with you. Jesus uses two metaphors, two pictures, two images to describe his followers. And the first one is a familiar one. It's light. Followers of Jesus are like light. Our Lord came to overcome the darkness of sin and wickedness and unbelief and rebellion. And as Christians, we reflect His light. We stand in contrast to these things. We point others to the light, Jesus, who banishes all of those things by His death and resurrection. But what is the other thing that Jesus compares you to? Salt. Have you ever thought of yourself as salt? Not really something I often think of myself as. Maybe you've been called salty before, but that's not what Jesus refers to here. So this morning, we'll reflect on this image and metaphor. We'll see why Jesus compares us to salt and really what it means to be salt in this world. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." In the ancient world, salt was a critical thing. Salt was extremely valuable. And in fact, the word for salary comes from the Latin word for salt, of all things. Why is that? It's because Roman soldiers were actually paid in salt. They would be paid in salt because it was worth its weight in gold, literally worth its weight in gold. Really imagine that. Salt was seen as valuable as gold. And because of it, it's where we get the phrase "worth one salt" from. You ever heard that phrase before? To be worth one salt means that you were earning your keep or earning your pay, so to say. Salt was valuable. And it's also important in the ancient world. In a world without refrigerators, food would spoil fast. Think about food at something like a picnic or barbecue in the summer. How was that food after it sat out for a little bit? Not as good as it was a few hours prior, right? So what would you do with any leftover food or fruits and meats that you would have? You don't want to throw it away, but you're too full to eat it. So they would salt it, and salt it heavily. Salt would preserve the meat and the fruit. Salt was important. And in addition to being as valuable as gold and important as a preserver, salt also had many purposes. It was used in sacrificial rituals, both for Jews and for Romans. It would tenderize food, it would flavor food, it cleanses, it cleans. It's used in pottery and fertilizing and bleaching. Salt has many purposes, and it's still important today, isn't it? And on a day like this, we really see just how important salt is. Can be. This winter, I learned a valuable lesson in that. One morning, our driveway was just coated with ice to the point that I literally just slid down the entire driveway. And so to safely get back up, I walked back up in the snow since that gave better traction and grip on my flat dress shoes. And so to get rid of the ice, I went and grabbed a big shovel full of salt and just slowly put it over the driveway and then after waiting a few minutes, I went back out with my shovel and easily removed that ice on the driveway. The driveway was now safe and ice-free. Could you really picture a winter without salt? It's not a pleasant one, is it? Salt is still important today, just like it was back then. It's still valuable, useful, and purposeful. And that's really Jesus' point here with this metaphor. Salt is valuable, important, and purposeful. Can you really imagine a world without it? Salt is essential. The world needs it. And the same goes for our Lord's followers. The world needs Christians too. Christians are like salt. Don't let the world or others tell you otherwise. Christians are valuable, important, and purposeful. And believe it or not, they really are needed. The world truly needs them. Could you imagine a world without their good deeds and works? Could you imagine a world without the loving and forgiving words of Christians? Could you imagine a world that is not prayed for, along with people who aren't prayed for? Kind of a scary thought. Christians are essential. And so to drive this point home, Jesus notes the problem when salt isn't salt. He says, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. If salt doesn't flavor food, if it doesn't help with cleaning, if it doesn't help with melting ice, really, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. It should be thrown away and discarded. Salt has a purpose and function. And so do we. If disciples turn away from Jesus and reject his calling, they become tasteless. They're no longer fulfilling their purpose and function. And really, the world suffers because of that. So what is our purpose and function? As Lutherans, this might make us feel a little queasy, but it's what Jesus says. He says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. In short, it's to perform good works of faith, not for ourselves, but for the benefit of others and for the glory and praise of God. Have you ever had a moment where you praised God for something that someone has done for you? You ever had one of those moments where you're like, thank you, Lord, for such and such, for so and so? And I had one of those a month ago when we went back to Illinois for the week. It had snowed, and our neighbor kindly snowblowed part of our driveway for us. When we got home, we were able to pull into our driveway because of him. If he hadn't done that for us, the berm at the end of the driveway would have been about 3 feet high and solid ice. I still haven't been able to get rid of that chunk of ice that was frozen from the part that he didn't do. I was thankful and still am thankful for just his simple, small act of kindness. How can we be people that others thank God for because of what we've done for them? What does being the salt of the earth look like in your life? How can you be like salt? Maybe some of these questions might provoke some thoughts. How might our standing as son or daughter or mom or dad or spouse or sibling impact this? Does maybe an elderly parent need some help with some errands? Does a sick child with the snuffles need some extra patience and cuddles? Does a sibling who's just stuck in a rut need a word of encouragement and a listening ear? Maybe how might our standing as friend or neighbor impact us? Does that neighbor who just had knee surgery need a hand? Or maybe that sick person use a little extra sunshine in their life by just a card sent in the mail? Does a friend need someone to pour their heart out to and to share their frustrations? Or does maybe the person in the wheelchair at Dollar Tree just need the door open for them? Is there someone we can pray for? Is there someone we can share a word of hope with? How can our works of faith serve others and give praise to God? You are the salt of the earth. But where is the gospel in that? Where is the gospel in our text? Believe it or not, there's plenty of gospel in our text. And I'll let Jesus tell you himself. See if you can hear it and find it in his words. And once you see it, you'll never miss it again. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." I'll say it again. You are the salt of the earth. You are. Did you catch it? Did you see the wonderful gospel in his words? It's are. You are. Notice Jesus doesn't say you might be, you were, you sort of are, you will be, or maybe you aren't. He says are. That's a present thing. That's your identity. You are salt. You are light. In Christ, God gives us our identity. He speaks what we are, and that is what we become. In Christ, you are forgiven. You are loved, you are valuable, you are precious, you are chosen, you are wanted, and you are one who belongs to God. Don't believe that. To confirm that, Jesus says God is your Father. It's because of his death and resurrection for you and for me. This identity is confirmed at our baptism and continues to be stressed at his supper, where he invites you to have a seat. He speaks what you are, and that is what we become. We are salt. We are salt because of Christ, and we live out this vocation as salt of the earth, not because it affects our standing with God, it won't, but because it is what we are made to do. We respond by honoring the one who has made us and saved us. So maybe next time you watch a movie or a show, maybe you'll sign someone to be a character. Maybe you won't, and that's fine too. But whatever you do, don't forget the wonderful identity Jesus has given to you. You are salt. In his name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus. Amen.